Amen. Well, I decided I was going to, I saw this, I thought I'd read it to you. For all those that never had the privilege of listening to some of Yogi Berra's stuff. Okay. Here it is. Ready? When you come to the fork in the road, take it. let me make sure. I think I did something wrong over here. Let's see. I probably did. Hold on, y'all. Let me fix something. Y'all sing. Somebody sing something. Yeah, y'all hum or something. Da 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 da. Y'all are doing good. Da da da. All right, I need to push the buttons. We're ready. All right, here we go. They're not up there, so y'all just have to listen to them. Number two, you can absorb a lot just by watching. Number three, it's not over till it's over. Number four, my favorite, is it's like deja vu all over again. Listen to this one. No one goes there nowadays. It's too crowded. Baseball, he was a really good thinker too, because he said, baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. He said, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. Oh, y'all better pay attention to this one and live by this one. Always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours. Wow. Here's one. I met somebody said this morning. We made too many wrong mistakes. Congratulations, I knew the record would stand until it was broken. Well, here, I've said this a couple of times myself. You wouldn't have won if we'd have beaten you. Here's one. The future ain't what it used to be. And look, here it is. He said, this is my favorite of all. I never said most of the things I said. Ah, y'all guys. I did hear about this father and the son were talking. Was not me in D.C. Well, it could have been me in D.C. I'm not sure. Maybe years ago. Son, you need to be more industrious. After all, when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he was out splitting rails. And the son said, I know, Dad, when he was your age, he was president. Well, isn't God good? Let's not forget, please, Sister Dorothy had that implant, that cochlear implant in her ear this week, and she's home, and she's doing well. The Lord's blessed in all of that. And also, y'all know Joey's sister Brenda from Brenda's Florist. She had cancer, and last night she finally ended that battle with cancer. She's with God now. And so let's remember Sister Elsie and Joey and their family. It's never easy, ever easy saying goodbye to a loved one. So just remember them in prayer. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Ecclesiastes. As a matter of fact, it's going to be up here. Go ahead and let it rip. Oh, it's not doing it? Okay. It's ripped. We ripped it one time too many. Okay. Let's see here. End show. Start all over again. And then go. Did it do it up there? Nope, it's not doing it. Why is it not doing it? Okay, hold on, church. We're going to get this. Of course, we want to make this look good. Oh, that's why it's not plugged in. It got pulled loose when I took it down. That's the problem. So now I just made it tighter. You know, just remember this. There's two guys in the woods. They're both cutting wood. One says to the other, we got to get going. We got to really make sure we get this going good. The other one said, The other one said, we ain't got time to stop. We got to keep on cutting. We got to cut 3 truckloads of wood. The other guy said, well, I'm going to stop for a minute and I'm going to sharpen my axe. The guy that sharpened his axe, the other guy was ridiculing him and said, we don't have time to stop and sharpen our axe. And he said, yes, we do. He said, as a matter of fact, it's necessary. He said, you're going to lose 30 minutes to an hour by sharpening your axe. When he got through sharpening his axe, he cut twice as much wood as the other guy did. So remember, sometimes just you need to sharpen your axe, you need to plug the thing in, or... Okay. This is from Acts. Remember this. This all came from this whole series. The last two weeks have come from me. I was talking with somebody who had just got through sowing into God's kingdom. He sowed into it mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and even financially. He did his time, his talent, and his treasure. And after he had really sowed strong, it didn't look like it was coming back at the time. And the Lord helped me that day. I said, Lord, give me something to encourage this person. And as I'm walking in Walmart and I'm putting my groceries in the car, I just walked around the car and there was nothing there. I come back and on top of the water was a $5 bill. It wasn't even wet. And the Lord told me to go tell him this. And so this is what I told him. And of course, he took the $5 bill and put it on the wall and taped it up there. Amen. Along with this verse. Ready? Get stand up. Get turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. If you don't have your Bible, he's going to have it right up here next. Here it goes. You can read it. Look up here and read it too. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, the place where the tree fell, it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And they, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be good alike. And just that's a whole lot of Elizabethan English. So let's go to the next one. Go ahead, brother. Take it to the next one. We're just gonna put it in modern English, all right? Send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks may lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. With whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant, and if they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of the tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you know not if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. And I know, God, that all things are in your hand. I ask you right now to touch and to anoint in a very powerful and special way. You are awesome. You've got all things in your hands, Lord. And Father, this day is in your hands likewise. Father, I ask you, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us, God, in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And let this speak to every one of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. On the way down, we'll get somebody a high five, low five, no five, some kind of five. 4 1/4, 4 1/2. And tell them God's good. Now I'm just gonna give you a few slides from last week so we can keep some continuity here. So we're gonna go through it kind of fast. I'll start slowing down when we get back to the other. Okay, ready? Here it goes. A rut. How many's ever been in a rut? How many's in a rut now? Okay. You know what a rut is? A rut is, watch this, it's a restricted, useless trench. Somebody say that. Restricted, useless trench. The symptoms of a rut is there's a lack of movement, a lack of interest, and there's also a lack of victory. Listen again. There's a lack of movement, a lack of interest, and a lack of victory. The way out of a rut is to get into the cycle. Didn't say jump on a cycle. Y'all are mighty quiet. Alright, how many want to get out of the rut? Alright, the way to get out of the rut is to get into the cycle. Okay, get ready. Cycles. God is a God of cycles. Alright, each cycle is principle driven. I'm not going back in this, I'm just going over it quick, because last week this is where we're at. Each cycle is principle driven, life accurate, leak proof, and it's impartial. It works for everybody, and it guarantees to work. And here it goes. The first thing we did last week, if you don't send anything out, you can't expect anything to come in. He says, cast your bread upon the waters. If you don't send anything out, you're not going to get anything in. So here's the dare. Here's one of God's cycles. Sowing and reaping. And again, I want you to think about this thing. This is not just talking about money. All right? This is, look at somebody and say, this isn't about money. Tell somebody, this is about your time, your talent, and your treasure. Amen. So here it is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, so shall he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap, from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, y'all say due time, we shall reap if we won't grow weary. So this deals with the act of sowing. Let me ask you a question now. How many here could, you don't raise your hands, don't raise your hands. You can holler, but don't raise your hands because people will be looking at you. How many in here could use some more joy? How many here could use some more happiness? How many here could use some more sweet talk to you instead of that harsh talk? How many could stand somebody lifting you up instead of tearing you down all the time? If you need this stuff, then the way to get it is to give it. The way to get it is to give it. Amen. This is the act of sowing. So here we go. Let's move on. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, who's a reward of them who diligently seek him. Here it goes. This is where we stopped last week. Get ready. I heard a bunch of ouches last week. God does not reward idleness. Y'all sounded better this week. God does not reward idleness. God does not reward us playing it safe. Woo! Y'all do that. Woo! You have to step out. You have to cast something. God allows you to be involved in this process or the cycles of life. And here it is, the seven laws of the harvest. And here's where we stopped. We reap only what has been sown. If you sow anger, you're going to reap anger. If you sow misunderstanding, you're going to reap misunderstanding. If you sow hatred, you're going to reap hatred. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. With your time, your talent, and your treasure, whatever you sow, that is exactly, it's a principle of God. That's what you're going to reap. You ever know somebody that when they come in the room, all of a sudden, things just lighten up? And as it lightens up, people are cutting up and carrying on. Just a few minutes, they were sad and despondent. Now this one person or two people come in, all of a sudden now, it's wonderful in there. Why? Because that person understands that in order to have a good environment, you must sow into that good environment. Amen? There's some people, everybody in here, you've heard me say this 1,000 times before, everybody in here has a chance to brighten a room. Some of you brighten it by entering it. Some of you brighten it by leaving it. But everybody can brighten it. So you reap the same as kinds we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. Faint not. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can do something about this year's. I can't do a thing. You say, well, what about yesterday? You know, so many people live in yesterday, and as they're living in yesterday, that their mind is all consumed with yesterday. And as it's consumed with yesterday, they wonder, you know, what about? If I'd only done it this way, if I'd only done that, learn the lesson from yesterday and move on. Learn the lesson and move on. Don't stay. As a matter of fact, Mighty Army yesterday said, if you overthink anything, if you overthink it, you take it out of God's hand and you keep it stuck in your head. Whew. Let me say it one more time. If you overthink anything, well, I coulda, shoulda, woulda, what if was yesterday, what if you overthink something, how many here as analytical thinkers have a tendency to overthink? I know I do. I have a tendency to. Overthinking takes it out of God's hands and it keeps it stuck in your head. And when it's stuck in your head, you don't move through faith. It causes you to move through flesh. So you have to learn when to let it go. Amen? Let it go. There's that song, let it go, let it go, let it go. I don't know how, God, but I want to let it go. Amen. So here we go. Number one, if you do not sow, then guess what? If you don't send anything out, nothing's coming back. Number two, this is in the scripture we just read. Number two, get ready. Sow as much as possible. Think about this thing. Sow as much as possible. Because it says, send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits shall flow back to you, but divide your investments among many places. Give a portion to seven, give a portion to eight, give them out. Because the more you sow, the more you get back. Watch this. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly. Well, he said he won't. He told me I need to smile more, so there. He told me I need to be nice. So I'm nice. Why don't people think I'm nice? So watch, watch. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly shall also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously that blessing may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessing. It deals with your attitude of sowing. Luke 6:38. I love this. We're going to come back to it. It says, give and the gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over. They are pour in the pouch of your bosom and the robe used as a bag. People actually took their shirts and when they got stuff, they pulled it up the shirt tail and they put the stuff in their shirt tail or in their robe and they carried it like this. So it wasn't really like a basket. It was like an apron and you put the stuff in there. And so for the men, with the measure you use will confer benefits on you to be measured back. So watch this. This is awesome. You know, there's two attitudes here that he's talking about. I want you to watch these two attitudes. Watch it strong. Number one attitude, $3 worth of God, please. Get ready. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. But just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or somebody that's not like me or pick beats with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth to the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like $3 worth of God, please. That's attitude number one. I hope you don't have that attitude. Number two, John Wesley's rule for Christian living. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the times you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Wow. This, so as much as possible. And then don't wait for perfect circumstances to invest. For the Bible tells us in verse 4, it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Watch this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. This is investment wisdom. If you wait for everything to be perfect, you're going to never do anything. Matter of fact, fair weather Christians very seldom get much accomplished. Let me show you something here. This is what I was talking about last week. I've been carrying this around for weeks. How many like apples? I love apples. Honeycrisp are my favorite. I've been carrying it around in my pocket. From a Honeycrisp apple. They're awesome. Matter of fact, I'd like to have an apple right now.
Amen.
Now, I've been carrying these around for 3 weeks now. How come I don't have an apple? Oh, why don't I have an apple? Huh? Why don't I have an apple? I've got the seeds. I'm walking around with them in my hands. I like apples. I've got the seed. What I've got in my hand is called potential. And in order for this, matter of fact, I was someplace. I can't remember where I was at. I was at a hospital somewhere, or I was at someplace, and one of the persons that waited on me was very, very exceptional. They reached out and tried to make sure that everything I needed was taken care of. And when they got through, I pulled these out and showed it to them. And they said, "That's really nice, carrying seed around in your pocket." Matter of fact, they looked at me like I'd lost it. Maybe that's why they were trying to help me. I don't know. And then I told them this. I said, "Yeah, I like apples." They said, "Yeah, I see that." And they said, I said, "I want one right now." And they said, "Well, how are you going to get it?" I said, "I don't know, because I keep the seed in my pocket." A man was in the desert. As he's walking through the desert, he sees a pump. The pump will not work. He looks and he sees a sign saying, "In order to drink water, open it up. So he opens it up, and there is a gallon of water. It says, "Do not drink the water. Use it to prime the pump." He was so thirsty, he didn't even read it, didn't pay attention. He pulled up the gallon of water, and he drank it and poured it on himself. And the pump never worked, and he died of thirst in the desert. The Lord taught me something a long time ago. Two things. Don't keep your seed. And number two, don't eat your seed. I could eat these. Matter of fact, now I might break a tooth off. I still got a watermelon growing inside of me from when I was four. I swallowed a watermelon seed. My daddy told me I was going to have a watermelon in there. It's still there somewhere. It's just getting smaller or shrinking. Yeah, I'm starving it to death. Don't keep your seed and don't eat your seed. That guy at the pump, he drank his seed. In my pocket, I'm keeping my seed. And God said, he that sows sparingly or don't sow at all, that's what he's going to reap. Y'all go, ugh. Remember, time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. You know, have you ever said one of these days? Get ready. If you ever said one of these days, I'll do something for God. Or if you've ever said somewhere down the road, I'll do something for God. Just remember, you may be falling into the trap of fair weather Christianity. Be careful. Fear and unbelief still keeps people from entering into the promised land. Did you know that? Some will spend their entire lives on the wrong side of Jordan. Do y'all know that all of the 12 tribes went over into the promised land? Did all of them go? How many stayed on the other side of Jordan? 2.5 tribes. Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. They said, "I don't know if it's worth it for us to cross over and go into the promised land and settle there. Let us stay right here." The only problem was they still had to fight. They still had to help the other guys do everything they had to do to settle in, but then they come back and settled back. You think, well, if I'm just going to take it easy, let me tell you something. You can try to take it easy in God's kingdom. You still got to fight. You still got to push forward. You see, I'd rather try and fail than to fail not trying. I would rather try and fail than to fail not trying. Now here, listen to this now. The Lord taught me this a long time ago. Are you spending your time, your talent, or your treasure, or are you investing it? You know, they tell me I'm gonna go spend some time with my kids. Well, how about this? Think about it this way. I'm gonna invest some time with my kids. I'm gonna spend some time with my wife or my husband. How about this? I'm gonna invest some time with my wife or husband. I'm going to go spend some time telling people about Jesus. No, I'm going to invest some time telling people about Jesus. You see, there's a difference in spending it and investing it. Spending it, I have no idea. It's just out there. When I'm investing it, I'm expecting something to come back. Matter of fact, here's the cycle of blessing. I told you, it's from that Christmas song. Simple principle, whatever you're lacking, let it sow, let it sow, let it sow. Whatever you're lacking, God gave us a promise. So today, whatever it is, think about it. What is you're saying, God, I really need this. And so, remember, if God's give you something, you say, God, I really need this, and then God gives you just this little bitty three pieces of the seed, let me ask you something. If what He's given you is not enough to meet your need, then it's your seed. One more time. If what He's given you is not enough to meet your need, then it's your seed. I'm not going to spend my seed. I'm going to invest it. I'm going to watch God do something special with it. Next principle. It says, and you will find it after many days. Again, let's go to Luke 6:38. Give and gifts will be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. They will pour out in the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used by a bag for with the measure you deal out, the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. I've heard something lately. I've heard it a lot. They said, that karma's tough. Anybody heard that? There's some other words they use too that I won't care to use. That karma's tough. You dealt it out all this time and now it's coming back to you. It's kind of tough on you, ain't it? Well, you know what? That's not a good way to look at it, but it's the truth. What you deal out is what you get back. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But if I keep a good attitude and keep pushing that good attitude, eventually that good attitude will come back. Quick. I mean, so quick is going to make you think I'm flying through here. Remember telling you about that lady at Procter & Gamble who was so mean? I mean, she would scare Wyatt Earp. John Wayne would go, yes, ma'am, and walk off. And she was put in charge of the shop. And I said, who in the world in their right mind put this woman in charge of the shop? And I hated to get around here because she cut up with me and beat me up every way she could. She mentally and spiritually abused me every chance she got, talking about, here's the preacher! And she just ate me up. Blah, 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 blah. And I even hated to be around the woman. I did. I hated to be around her for two reasons. One, her mouth was bigger than mine. And two, she was bigger than me. That was a big woman, I'm telling you. And that Saturday, we had to come in to do this work. And we were going to be there for 8 hours. And they told me, David, I need you, one of the head guys, I need you to train some of these people. I said, that's not a problem. I don't mind. I train them all the time. And so I'm going to be in this 30 foot in the air in this little bitty cage, just big enough for two people to go. And they come up and said, here's the person you're training, David. I'm in the cage, and open the door, and here she comes. She gets in the cage of me and she goes, and I said, I turned around and I looked up at the Lord and I said, help. And I turned around and I said, I'm not going to give in to this. I'm not going to give in. So I just kept being, I kept sowing kindness, and sowing stories about the Lord and back and forth. And within an hour, I heard her say, shut your mouth. I said, shut my mouth? Okay. She said, no, tell me some more. I said, what? She started talking to me. And before I knew it, that day, I preached to her for 7 hours. And when we got through, she wound up being one of my bodyguards for the rest of the time I was there. But you see, instead of sowing fear, I didn't sow fear. I stood up. And I said, I'm being bold in you, Lord, and I'm going to just keep on pushing it, keep on pushing it. She was throwing out meanness, and I threw out sweetness. She'd throw out hate, and I'd throw out sweetness. She would throw out all kinds of things at me, and I'd throw it right back in a different way. And after about an hour of it, she got tired of fighting it. And pretty soon she was going, come on, tell me more, preacher. Come on, tell me more. And every time I see her, she'd be high-fiving me and talking about, God's good, ain't he? Yeah, all right. Yeah, praise God. And I was thinking, if I hadn't worked with her in that little bitty thing where it was just me and her, nobody else could influence her, it was just me and her. God knew it. This way, nobody could influence her. We're 30 foot in the air. Praise God. So I'm here to tell you something. Watch this. Get ready. All of us up there. Here it comes. Watch this. Look at his previous verses. Now, let's just read these verses here. Let me get my Bible out. Praise God. I had it right out here. I'm dropping stuff all over the place today. I don't know. I think the gravity is really, really hard here today. So y'all be careful. As a matter of fact, the gravity is so hard, I'm actually thinking that we're going to have to do something about the gravity. I know. You're going to say, what you going to do about it? I don't know. Live with it, I reckon. Hold on. Modern technology. It would help if I'd already had turned to it. I know today I just seem like I ain't got it together. I do. I really do. I know you think I don't. Somebody say, yeah, you do, preacher. Okay, thank you. Made me feel. See, sow something good. Look, I was talking about it, you think I don't have it, and somebody went, that's right. There it is. But I send you what you hear. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them who despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on one cheek also offer the other, and take away the cloak, forbid it not. And just keep on going for whatsoever you want a man to do unto you, you do unto him. You love him. All this stuff. He's telling us all this stuff. Therefore be merciful as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall not be forgiven. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give unto your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal shall it be measured to you again. So I want you to think about this, what we're just talking about. Listen, here's the principle. Listen, simple command. If you want to change what you're getting, you got to change what you're giving. There's a whole list of things. Mercy and grace and love and understanding and peace. See, he's talking about your time, your talent, and your treasure. He's talking about it all. If you want to change what you're getting, change what you're giving. If you have a judgmental attitude, I'm going to tell you what, people aren't going to be around you to start with. If you got a judgmental attitude, when they are around you, they're either not going to say a word, or when they do, it's going to be harsh because they're giving back what you're giving them. You know, I remember watching one time DC. He was about 10 years old, and he's walking through the church. I said, quit doing this, son. He was going. I said, son, quit walking on your toes like that. And he's still. And I walked by there, and Bittiger Gaines looked at him and said, look at him. I said, I know. I've been trying to tell him not to walk like that. She says he walks just like his daddy. You see, I didn't see it in me, but I saw it in him. So let me just tell you something. Sometimes what you see, one day DC was in Roses. He was about 4 years old. He fell on the floor and started kicking his feet and hitting his arms. And he goes, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And his mama said, do something. So I said, okay. And I laid right on the floor right there in Roses, started kicking my feet and hitting my arms. I said, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And DC stopped and he stood up by his mama and pointed at me and said, you see, again, we don't always see what we're doing. So sometimes when people are giving something back to you, you don't realize you're giving back what you're giving. Amen? Amen. So if you want to change what you're getting, change what you're giving. Here it goes. You'll find out after many days. I'm closing. The first command is give. It's in the present imperative mode. What this means is that give is not optional. It's commanded. If you want something, you got to give it. If you want something, you got to give it. Who got the mighty army today? Read it to me. Somebody read it to me. Somebody help me out here. Y'all said you got it. Thank you. The tighter you squeeze, the less you have. Wow. I told that to one guy, and he wrote back, not with oranges and lemons. Yesterday I sent the one about if you overthink it, then you take it out of God's hands, keep it light in your head, and he said, I'll think about that. I get all kinds of responses back from Mighty Army. Second, the compensation, it shall be given unto you. The liberal giver will be compensated liberally. God will see to that. So remember, time, talent, and treasure. You want to see something grow, let it go. You can't hold on to your seed and be blessed. A good word is a seed. I was talking to somebody the other day, and as I was talking to the person, I said, you know, they were talking about how people were treating them. And nobody here. And I said, well, you ought to consider, you know, maybe if you thought about praying for them, maybe you told them whatever. And they said, I sit here every morning and I think about every one of them. And I said, have you ever told them that? And they said, no, they should know that. I said, so you're saying you're thanking or praying for every one of them every morning? Yeah. Well, do you know that none of them know that? So, you're keeping your seed in your pocket. You need to tell them sometime when they're going, do you ever think about anybody besides yourself? You can go, yeah, I pray for you every morning. Take the seed out. I challenge you. Whether it's a word, whether it's a deed, or it may be this. Oh, there you go. Anybody need a Food Lion coupon? It may be that. But you know what? If you give it out, don't hold on to it. Well, someday, some way, somewhere. No. So watch this now. It's up here so you can see it. In a cup, what it is we'll use a cup for it. They would, in order, this is the guy that's selling it to you. This isn't even the guy that's buying it. This is the guy that's selling it to you. To make sure that you got what you bought, if you held your cup out, he would pour the grain in the cup. And then he would press it down. And after he pressed it down, he would shake it. You go to the store now and you see these great, it's amazing. I saw two cereals side by side. And they're just about the same price, but one had a box that much taller than the other. And I said, I'll grab this one. And I got down and looked. And they had the same amount in it, but this box was that much bigger. And it also said, know that the bag weight is also filled with air. Anybody in here ever been filled with air? And so I thought I was getting something good. I'm like, I was getting the same thing. The exact same thing. Just one was full of air. I know y'all have never been full of air. And it's so important. The man, when he'd sell it to you, he'd hold your apron up. And he'd pour it in and he'd press it down. And then after he pressed it down, he would shake it. And then he poured more in it to make sure you got what you paid for. Matter of fact, you got more than what you paid for. You know, there's a couple of Subways around here. You go to Subway and get a tuna sub, and you can read the paper through the tuna. I even saw lettuce and counted how many pieces of lettuce I had on the other side of that piece of tuna the other day. So I went to another Subway and I said, watch this. Y'all are the best Subway in town. They said, really? I said, yeah. I said, and I weren't exaggerating. I said, because somebody come in and said the same thing behind me. But I said, y'all do so good. And I said, I never have gotten a sub from you that I had to go search party out to find the meat. And she said, really? I said, really? I said, I like the way y'all do it. Next thing I know, when I called Linda, I said, you better get a spoon and a bowl. She said, why? I said, but she says, is it mushy? I said, no, because it's loaded with tuna. I got home and we had 2 6-inch tunas with 12 inches full of tuna in them. And I thought about this thing. I was blessing her by giving her a compliment. She blessed me by giving me tuna. Oh my. So watch this. Watch. Fill the cup, press it down, shake it together, fill it again until it's running over. How many want their cup running over? Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. Meaning, how long has it been since your saucer's been blessed? God, I don't want just my cup filled. Bless my saucer. Bless my saucer. So spiritual law of reciprocation. What you give is what you get back. How you give is how it comes back. If you need mercy, you need to start giving some mercy. You need understanding, start giving some understanding. You need a smile, start giving a smile. You need whatever it is. In your time, your talent, your resources, once you give it, it's going to come back. It will come back. How many here can testify? It will come back. It will come back. Two of you testified. How many more can testify? 3, 4, there you go. It will come back. Y'all got to help me out here. And then watch this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. If you're quick-tempered, you're snappy, like a little feist dog, you're going to get it back. Then the problem is, when you get it back, it's going to be worse than what you gave. I've had people tell me before, I asked somebody, and don't go here, so don't think, don't start looking around the congregation trying to pick it out. I had a person ask me, said, I don't understand why this other person is just so outrageously, because I was counseling them, so outrageously mean to me. And I got bold because, you know, I've been already seen them 2 or 3 times. I finally said, have you looked in the mirror while you're communicating? And after the bullfrog blowed up, when we went back down, they said, you know what? You're right. I said, that's how you communicate. And I said, God's not mocked. The same way you dish it out, it's coming back, but it's coming back worse. I haven't seen that person again. But when they come back, I'm expecting them to say, you know what? That hurt, but it was right. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, but especially... Y'all look around. Especially to the household of faith. Wow. To everyone, but especially. Isn't that awesome? Let's all stand. DC, go ahead, DC. Go ahead and share it, bro.
We'll share a miracle with you. Got called out Wednesday to go look for a man that'd been missing since Sunday afternoon about 4:30. This man was 88 years old, World War II veteran. He was legally blind. He was on the early stages of diabetes. And he had a touch of Alzheimer's type disease. That man was out there from Sunday night, from Sunday afternoon late, till Wednesday, about a little out on Wednesday afternoon, when we found him. Alive.
Awesome.
Well, God wrapped his hands around this man and kept him alive and kept him safe. Now that was a miracle. Because by all rights, the man should have died. But when they found him, he was walking. Said his hips hurt, so they got somebody out there to where he wouldn't have to walk all the way back in. Now that was a miracle. Do miracles happen today? You better believe they do.
Yes.
And I witnessed one Wednesday in the flesh. Thank you.
I guarantee you, you say he's a World War II veteran? I guarantee you somewhere along the line, he had gone out and found somebody else. And God just gave him back what he gave. Remember, after many days, there's times that I have helped people's children. And I didn't see it for many, many years. But when my child was in that kind of need, God gave it back. Whatever you need, this is a challenge. Whatever you need this week, give it. Whether it's a seed of time, talent, or treasure, give it. And watch what God will do for you. Every head bowed. Go ahead, DC. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you're here this morning, I'm just going to ask you quickly. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the very first thing you need to do. If you don't know Jesus, would you just raise that hand and say, I need Jesus in my heart? Maybe you're here this morning and you had him, you're working with him, but somewhere along the way, you just backed away. You didn't understand that you needed to sow what you needed. And you thought God had left you and hadn't taken care of you and didn't realize that you hadn't done your part. If I'm talking to you this morning, would you just raise that hand? You don't have to come up here. We're not going to make a spectacle out of you. Just raise that hand because we're going to pray for you right at your seat. Maybe this morning you need God just to do something special to help you have the faith to give out what you need. If I'm talking to you this morning while nobody else is looking around, would you just put the hand up? Help me, God. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. If you got a need of any kind, you want to come up here and pray, this altar's open right now. Come. Come to this altar right now and pray whatever your need is. You just want to thank God. You got a special need in your life. You need God to do something special for you. All that will, come to this altar right now. Come to this altar. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. God, you know my heart. God, you know my need. Help me, Lord, to learn not to eat my seed, Lord, or not to keep it in my pocket. But Lord, help me to sow it, whether it be a word or a deed, whatever it is that I need. Let me give you the seed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. All things are in your hands. You're capable of doing anything, Lord. Anything but failing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 You're awesome. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Let that person know that I'm praying for them. Let that person know that they mean something to me. Help me, Lord, to sow that kindness, sow that love. Help me, God, to reach out when I see somebody in need, and whether it be physically or financially, whatever their need is, help me, Lord, to help them. Lord, let them see that somebody cares. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, DC, sing it, buddy.
In the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. The one that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
Let's sing that chorus together, y'all.
And it reaches to the highest mountain.
Sing it, church.
And it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose this power.
God is awesome. Last week on Sunday night, we talked about getting enthusiastic. I didn't say elastic. Enthusiastic. But if you're enthusiastic, you'll wind up, your attitude will be elastic because you can bounce back. Amen. So come back tonight. We're going to talk about being enthusiastic again. Also call Sister Bonner and this Sister Dorothy and talk to her and tell her that you're praying for her. You know, it's one thing when she comes back to say, we've been praying for you, and she don't know it. I appreciate you praying for me, but I really wish you would call me and tell me you're praying for me. Like I was telling this one person, said, I understand my family acts like I don't do anything. And I said, well, maybe it's because they don't know you do anything. Okay? You're always receiving, but you're never giving. And if you'll tell them, well, I really am. I'm giving them myself in prayer for you every morning, and I'm trying to find ways to bless you. Although I've never done it, I'm thinking about it. Okay, fair weather Christian, I'm going to do it one day. Tell somebody you love them. Tell somebody they're good friends. Tell somebody they're talented. Tell somebody you appreciate them. It'll come back. Amen? Be company to somebody. Just be company. I remember one time Linda and I went in a funeral home, and it was so sad because there was a young man in there, and he was even in a box, weren't he, Linda? Just a box. Just a box. And we walked in there, and I think he had... The funeral director had signed it, I think. Broke my heart. So Lynn and I We actually prayed for the family, his family they were trying to find, and we signed it. And it reminded me of, there was a man when I first went to Benson, when he died, the church was filled with people. There was not enough room there. People were standing everywhere. His wife died 20 years later in a nursing home. They didn't have any children. Most of the family was gone, and the only person that she had was her brother-in-law. And when he called me 20 years later to come preach her funeral, and I kid you not, I was the pastor and a pallbearer, and there wasn't enough pallbearers. Now that's a whole different story, a whole different reason. But what I'm saying is today, if you're feeling alone and you feel like nobody cares and you're feeling like the people don't understand you, maybe you ought to try picking up the phone and calling somebody. Maybe you ought to look at somebody and say, you know what, I've never told you this, but you're awesome and I appreciate what you've done. I watch how you raised your children. I watch how you do this job, and I really appreciate it. I just want you to know that it means something to me. And watch. They might not give it back to you. Matter of fact, someone may pass out. But somewhere down the line, it's going to come back to you. So why look, he said, whatever, they'll say whatever. Whatever I give is coming back. Whatever. So I'm challenging you to go out and let your whatevers go. And watch how your life will explode in a good way. In a good way. In a good way. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask my dear wife, she's back there in the back, I'm going to ask her to dismiss us in prayer. And y'all all stand. Come back tonight. Be enthusiastic about tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you that we can come here today to be together as a church family to worship you the way you truly deserve. And Father, I just thank you that we can do that freely, without gunfire, without any qualms or fighting our way here. We can just drive freely here. And Lord, I thank you for that privilege. I thank you for this place. And Lord, I thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died so we can just say, Lord, forgive me. And it's all done. As someone said, we can walk 1,000 miles away from God, but it only takes one step to get back because of that cross, because of your Son. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We praise you. And Lord, I just ask you to keep everyone in your tender care until we come back again. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.